Can you talk about your study looking at bevacizumab?
I did a study, a small pilot study in 21 patients with inflammatory breast cancer. And the reason it's so small is, number one, inflammatory breast cancer is rare. And also we did many, many different correlative science endpoints in this trial. We gave one cycle of bevacizumab alone at 15 milligram per kilogram, and we did biopsies before and at 3 weeks, so we could look at some of the changes that occur with bevacizumab. We found one really striking finding, and it's going to be published in JCO, in that the receptor, VEGF receptor 2, or KDR, which is the active receptor for VEGF that really signals in angiogenesis, was present on a lot of the tumor cells. Now, we didn't really expect that, even though it's been reported a little bit in the literature. It really wasn't very prominent. The literature mostly talks about VEGF receptor 2 being on the endothelial cells. We found it prominently on the tumor cells, and the activated form of the receptor was decreased dramatically with the treatment with bevacizumab in most cases. And the two cases that had progressive disease, the activated receptor was actually very high. So what I've been trying to do with this trial and other trials that I've done is look at specific markers that might tell us which patients are going to respond, because I think that's still a big issue with bevacizumab. We know in the metastatic setting there's a huge benefit, but we don't know which patients will respond, unlike trastuzumab, where we do have a marker. The other thing we've done is looked at dynamic contrast enhanced MRI to try to do some of the same things, and we found some decreases in vascular permeability with it.
What did you see in terms of response? Did you see any responses?
We had a 67% response rate, and that's using RECIST criteria. Even though inflammatory breast cancer, for the most part, a lot of them don't have breast masses, most of them have lymph nodes, so we could see those on CT or MRI. So we're able to use that as part of the RECIST criteria. So we had a good response rate, which is what you would expect with conventional chemotherapy. But that wasn't really the main part of the trial, because after that first cycle, patients got combined chemotherapy and bevacizumab.
What was the chemotherapy?
It was doxorubicin and docetaxel, AT.
Did you see any responses to the initial injection of bevacizumab?
What we saw was on MRI, we actually saw a decrease in the vascular permeability on MRI. And we saw these molecular changes, but patients described a decrease in the redness of their breast, but we didn't see responses by RECIST criteria at that point.
What other work has been done sort of pre and post bevacizumab alone in vivo tumors? The one I'm familiar with is in rectal cancer that Chris Willett did. Can you talk about that work and what else has been done in the same vein?
The Willett or Rakesh Jain group up in Boston actually looked at interstitial pressure in rectal tumors and found that interstitial pressure was decreased after the use of bevacizumab, which makes sense because you decrease vascular permeability. And the theory is that if you decrease interstitial pressure, then you'll actually increase the flow. So that was a very nice study that was published by his group. And it's been shown actually in breast tumors, and I can't remember what drugs were used, but the same kind of thing was looked at. I think it was just traditional chemotherapy, where they looked at interstitial pressure and it was also reduced with chemotherapy too. So those are the only two studies I know of that were looking at interstitial pressure, because it's not that easy to do.
What's the next step in terms of your work with bevacizumab?
Well, what we're doing, actually, we're going to use another anti-angiogenic agent using a AZD2171, which is a VEGF receptor pan-tyrosine kinase inhibitor. And we're going to do a similar design, except have 10 patients that are a control. Because one of the issues and criticisms of my trial, actually, that I have for it, is that it's a small number of patients. And what happens when you actually wound the patient with a biopsy? We know that wounding causes angiogenesis. So the issue there is the wounding what's causing the changes that we're seeing? So we're going to have a control of 10 patients that aren't treated with anything for a week, and the other group will get these oral VEGF receptor tyrosine kinase inhibitor. And also, Denny Slaman is doing a similar trial design to what we did, and he's using TAC chemotherapy with or without bevacizumab, and also doing the treatment beforehand without chemotherapy. So he's also going to be looking at that. We did microarray on our patients too, and we found 103 gene signature with the use of bevacizumab. To work, we presented a poster here, and we're going to be looking into that. And one of the pathways that we found that was changed was wounding, which makes sense from our trial. We've had 5 out of 13 patients that actually had wound healing problems, and that supports the preclinical data with bevacizumab that you do have wound healing problems. They didn't really see it in the colon studies, I think, because most of the patients didn't have surgery after they got the drug.